the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
You're listening to Family Feud, part of the Paris Style podcast family. They might not be brother and sister, but they sure do fight like they are. Here's your hosts, Keely Yore and Shotgun Spratling.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Feud podcast, or should I say the final episode of the Family Feud podcast. I'm your host, Keely Yore, joined virtually by Shotgun Spratling and virtually by Chris Trevino. You guys are not here for the last podcast, which just makes me a little sad, but I can see you guys. So, Chris, if you do any bits, if you do any whiling, I'll be able to see it, so don't worry. As you just did. Visual bit. You just did one right there. How would you describe what that was for the audio viewers?
Just a violent motion of, like, hard jerk, hard pause kind of deal. And while I am sad this is the finale, it does seem fitting that it is remote. Because the first time we all did this podcast, we were remote.
True. That's true. We had
you on. Full circle.
We brought you in for COVID because we were that desperate. We were like, we should get that Chris guy
on
the podcast.
You could have left that last part out. Could have left the last part out.
Just kidding. Shoddy, you are bundled up right now. It seems like you're having a hard transition with the cold weather.
Chris and I are both wearing blankets at this moment because we're on the East Coast and it is cold. It's mother freaking cold up here in the Northeast, and I don't like it.
Just for background, I've been asking Chris for the last, like, 20 minutes what he's wearing, because it literally looks like he's, like...
I look like an Afghan dog, yes. It is more... It's like a shawl. I asked my mother if she had something warm and fuzzy I could wear, and she threw me this, so this is what I'm... This is what I'm rocking for the finale.
Going out in style. I gotta say, guys, I'm kind of in denial. Like, I know I don't, like, watch things, but when I do, it's really hard for me to watch the series finale because I'm like, it's over. If I don't watch the series finale, it's not over. So for me to be participating in a series finale is very difficult for me right now. I'm just letting you know.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure on us to make this a great show. It is the finale. You know, everyone's always going to be talking about their favorite series when it ends. Did they get did they wrap it all up nicely? Did they do a fan service? Did they get all the fan favorites? Did they hit them all in there? Who dies? Who's going to die at the end of this podcast? It could be any one of us.
I vote Shotgun, honestly.
Wow, I'm already freezing to death. Is that not enough?
That's the point. You're going to freeze slowly during this whole podcast.
Yeah, you just have this pressure to hit it, hit a home run on the final one. Can't leave them disappointed. Can't leave them asking what if.
And yet they probably will be.
True. Now, I mentioned that Chris is virtual. Chris, you're still in the DMV. You're a PG County boy through and through. Are you on watch? Are you on Caleb Williams' watch? Is that why you're still there?
I can't disclose my location legally.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't want to tip off anyone where I am hiding out or maybe stalking out. I don't want to give away my position, my geographic position. But okay. I can confirm I am in the DMV. I am in PG County.
Wow.
So that's all I can say right now.
So this is a true, you're being a true PG County boy right now. Not even beach boy, you're a PG County boy.
We're dropping the beach boy because it's not beach weather out here. We're straight PG County. We're straight to my roots.
Wow.
And this is also full circle, right, Keely? Since Chris claimed to be stalking us during his first podcast episode, right?
No. Okay. You know what, Shotgun? I'm not gonna let you get away with this.
That's a great point, Shotgun. Great memory on you remembering that and no one else bringing that up before this podcast even started rolling. That's just a great off the cuff point by you, and I that's one of the reasons why this show was so great.
Still trapped. Ability to still recall. Trapped over here.
Oh my goodness!
It's so impressive.
I recalled so impressive. That before we started the show.
I tried to throw it to
and
you, lady.
Was
come
like,
on.
No, I don't remember that. So yeah, a nice try though. A for effort.
I tried to throw it to you and let you explain, but
sure,
no, you had to. Attempt to attack me.
Yes.
So modest.
Of course.
So modest,
it's Family Feud, Shotgun. I got to come out swinging on this last episode.
Everybody bring it. Everybody bring it.
Speaking of, we're having a normal format show. We're going to have a stock up, stock down. I think off the dome, it can be anything USC related or podcast related. So just
whatever we want. It's no one wrote anything down. This is all improv. The whole show is improv.
Not all of it, but some of it. Yes. We're going to have some questions. Thanks to everyone who sent in your questions. And then we're going to have a final take it or leave it. Chris, I'm sure the sponsors were just calling your phone nonstop.
Yeah, my phone has died twice.
Wow.
Today just from sheer battery power just being drained from all the calls, you know, everyone wants a piece of the last show, you know, they know this is a series finale, everyone's going to be tuned in to see how it ends. So, yeah, I had a lot of sponsors call.
Wow.
I went with a local sponsor.
Oh.
I went with a local sponsor today just cuz I'm in the DMV, so I went local. So, yeah. But we got it for you.
Okay.
Got to be Potbelly.
Alrighty. Well, we have a lot to talk about. We kind of addressed this on Tunnel Vision, but we haven't addressed this on a feud pod. Transferpalooza is what Ryan has dubbed it. So many transfers, both in and out. We expected the amount of transfers out that we saw. I think Lincoln Riley gave us a preview of that in his introductory press conference. He said he's going to turn over the roster, and we've definitely seen that, so we'll get into that. But we've also seen some transfers in, and transfers from the conference. I think it's been an interesting just to see what Riley's staff has done and how they've evaluated who they've accepted so far through the portal. So we'll get into that. But I guess without further ado, stock up. Who you got? Who wants to go first?
On you, Chris.
On me?
Yep.
Interesting. You know, there's a lot of different routes I could go. I could be very USC themed. I could be like recruiting rankings or hype or season tickets. I could do all these things. But I'm going to go kind of big picture. I just want to say stock up on the legacy of this podcast you guys created. I am an outsider to this podcast, and I was brought in, and I just wanted to say you guys built an incredible podcast. Every podcast starts off with one listener, and this one has grown to many, many listeners and many, many jokes and many, many bits and many, many other things. And you can see from the support that you guys got on Twitter, everyone's saying they were going to miss this show. So I just want to say stock up on the legacy that you two feuding siblings started with this show.
An audible stock up for Chris Trevino. I wish we could, maybe if I do it in post.
No, you don't get the ad. It's one.
It's an audible. It's an audible. I get to do whatever I want. Maybe put Chris's like initial pod voice on the first Family Feud appearance, and then now where he's just like screaming and wilding out. Because Chris, you've grown so much. You have made this podcast what it has turned into, a true family. And I'm so glad we gave you membership, only to leave you stranded. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Chris. Could you explain your emotions when hearing that Keely's gonna leave?
That's my stock down. So why don't we all just chill out right now?
Okay. Shoddy.
Stock up. Let's go with the USC stuff. We'll talk about the transfer portal. I mean, the transfer portal is completely changing this roster, absolutely overhauling it. So stock up on the overhaul, I guess, of the roster. You know, oftentimes it almost always takes more than 1 year, because it just takes more time to be able to you know, move some pieces out, move some guys in, get some guys to graduate, to open up some space, you know, get some non-contributors out of the program and bring in guys that, you know, fit your system. But USC has turned things around drastically already. Now, they got some big additions by not having guys like Andrew Voorhees and Brett Nealon leave. Those are big additions, I think, because that could have really hampered the offensive line. But they've really attacked areas of need, whether it be the running back, the wide receivers, getting a couple linebackers yesterday. So I think that they've really overhauled this roster, and I think that that's definitely a stock up on the timeline. I thought it would take a little bit more time. I was very skeptical of what this team could be next year, and I thought it was going to, you know, there were going to be some growing pains. There's going to be a lot of expectations next year because of how quickly they've been able to get a lot more talent onto this roster after, you know, the number of players we saw that were already exiting. You know, it looked like it could be kind of bare, and it would be a year where they had to just kind of, you know, develop the culture, but not really, you know, have enough talent to compete at the level that they want to compete at. Whereas I think next year there's going to be high expectations for them to compete to win the South and potentially the Pac-12 championship. And, you know, where that goes from there could be anywhere. You know, obviously they got to get a quarterback and figure out that situation and have a little bit more depth there. But I think the overhaul of the roster has been, you know, just incredible to see, because you just don't expect to see it so quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What does it say about Lincoln Riley and his staff that they were able to come in and basically hit the ground running and get the portal additions that they've gotten so far?
I mean, I think we mentioned this before. It just goes to sort of the sway that a coach like Lincoln Riley has with his name, just being able to come in to someone or make a phone call or go into someone's house and be like, hey, look, I'm trying to build something special here at USC. You know how special USC can be. You know how special it's been in the past. I'm trying to bring that back. I want you to be a part of that. I want you to be part of my first year. I want you to be part of this quick rebuild. And we don't even want to call it a rebuild because we intend to compete for, you know, a national championship within the next couple of years or the Pac-12 championship next year. So that's kind of the sway that Lincoln Riley has. And I think that's what's helped accelerate it so quickly. I mean, no offense to someone like maybe a Matt Campbell. If Matt Campbell had been here, I don't think it'd be as quick turnaround as it's been going. You know, no offense to Matt Campbell, but I don't think he'd be pulling sort of the transfers or the number of transfers that that Lincoln and his staff has pulled so far. So it does go a long way into just being USC having poached a national top five coach like Lincoln Riley. Go ahead.
Yeah, the cachet of the name alone, just, you know, when people say Lincoln Riley, and obviously he's been in the playoffs, so now you're looking at teams and they go, I mean, at players are looking at it and go, maybe that's an option. And maybe USC wasn't a school they would look at before or with Matt Campbell. But, you know, with someone like Lincoln Riley, like, well, let me at least, you know, hear him out and see what they think they have next year and see where that team could be. Because I don't think it's that unusual for guys like Mario Williams or, you know, some of these younger guys to come along and join because they say, oh, in 2 years or 3 years, you know, they're going to be able to build it pretty quickly. But to get some quality grad transfers with 1 year remaining on their eligibility, I think that really says something about the cachet of a Lincoln Riley. To get a Bobby Haskins from Virginia, a guy that can come in and potentially start, and he can potentially go to several places and start right away. But for his 1 year to choose USC over some other places when offensive linemen are just the rarest of quality offensive linemen are the rarest of commodities in the transfer portal. So I think to get that one and get a guy like Travis Dye, I think that says a lot about where the prospects across the nation think this team can be next year, not 2 years down the road, not 3 years down the road, but next year.
Yeah, in that sense, I had stock up on USC's running back room to get more specific. Like you kind of touched on, Shotgun, Travis Dye is a guy who normally we wouldn't see come to USC. That's not someone who, when you have just 1 year left, he's going to choose USC as a running back. And so I thought not only was that a great move just because of what he represents, both as a running threat, but a receiving threat as well, you also weaken your Pac-12 rival by taking him away from Oregon. And then you add in Austin Jones, who actually committed before Travis Dye. And I thought he's kind of a underrated guy, because when I first got news that was who the emoji was for, I didn't really hear his name a lot on the P. And so I just thought it was interesting because I had heard, you know, prior to Keontae announcing that he was kind of leaning towards staying because the prospect of working with Lincoln Riley was attractive in that sense. But ultimately he leaves, and then you lose a veteran guy like Vivai Malapai, who everyone has talked about how much of a great team presence he is. So you lose two veteran guys like that. And so to have Austin Jones and Travis Dye come in and bolster that room, I think is huge for the running backs.
Yeah, a guy like Keontae Ingram, you know, it comes over and obviously he makes an immediate impact and he's going to be your starter. But that's a guy who had basically lost his position. Travis Dye could have easily stayed at Oregon, would have been the starter next year and been able to finish a career there. So to take a starter away from a Pac-12 opposition and take two of them actually away in both Dye and Jones, I think that really boosts the USC running back room, but also hurts those Pac-12 opponents as well.
And I think it also says a lot that Lincoln and company were able to get two high quality running backs from Pac-12 schools. I mean, like you said, Austin Jones didn't have a great follow-up year to 2020 last season, but he was still a proven running back in the Pac-12. And to get two, not just one, but two, you know, really good guys out of the Pac-12 kind of speaks to what they're doing. And, you know, suddenly that room goes from, you know, a really young but really talented class to just an absolutely stacked room with those two vets in there now to go with Relique, Brandon Campbell, and then Darwin Barlow, a guy who flashed a lot last year and a guy I'm still really high on.
Yeah.
I think that Dye and Jones both, I think it's going to be a huge boon for Riley Brown. I mean, to come in, and both those guys, Dye and Jones, can catch the ball in the backfield. Jones is a really good blocker. He's was their third down back as well to be in there to pick up blitzes and stuff. So Riley Brown, who is a guy that's going to play in the slot some, they're going to use out of the backfield, for him to be able to learn under those two guys, I think is going to be just going to accelerate his development as well.
I know we said one stock up, but since it's the series finale, any other stock ups? I know Chris is already frustrated.
We have our first twist.
I know. Plot twist, Chris. You got to have a plot twist.
I got nothing. I know Shotgun probably has something.
I don't know if one of you guys would have this on stock down, but I got stock up on Emoji Watch. I think it's been absolutely hilarious. I know everyone is freaking out, and I think it's awesome. I think just the fact that in the middle of January – that we're having so much consternation and so much talk about USC football, and just with the post of an emoji. And part of that is how well they've done in the transfer portal to be able to pick up 11 guys, all from Power 5 programs, bringing guys from the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac 12, you know, getting guys from the ACC as well. So, you know, going around the nation and getting players from big conferences, big time programs, Alabama and Auburn yesterday, and two guys that have been productive in their careers at those two places at the linebacker position. So, I think it's been hilarious. I know, Chris, you probably have a little bit different take.
I was going to say, Audible stock up Chris's Twitter presence since the emoji started. I've always had you guys on tweet alerts, but now I like actively get excited to see what Chris is gonna do when there's an emoji tweet, because Chris, you are just so angry at the USC football account right now.
Do you know what the two and the fight on actually stands for? It stands for the two ulcers that I've gotten since they started this whole whatever you want to call it campaign. That's what it stands for. And yes, just a little secret. I am not actually mad at them to the listeners. I'm not actually – I do not want to commit violence against whoever runs the account. I'm just playing a character.
It's a bit.
Hey, sure.
Luckily, they can't see. This isn't a video podcast.
The quick look away from Chris Jimino there.
Mm-hmm. But Chris, well done on the tweets. They've been great. Also, I think this is where you plug a future tattoo you might be getting.
You guys love cutting into the take it or leave it down the line.
Sorry.
You guys love this. Wouldn't be a Family Feud without you guys cutting into.
It's not like we have a list of what you're going to talk about and take it or leave it.
That just means we're on the same page.
It just means we're on the wavelength. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, before we move into stock down, you know I have to get into stock neutral, because stock neutral is a thing.
Gosh.
The
it's
nation
not a thing.
Is real. Oh, Chris
it's
is Chris is participating because I put him on the spot. I forgot about that. Let's go. People, the nation, it's good. We're going to get really meta right here, but stock neutral is stock neutral, because it's really bittersweet. I don't know what Chris is doing right now. He's making like stock neutral. He's like making stock neutral gang signs.
It's the neutral. It's the
okay. I like it. See, you add Chris to the nation and he already makes it cooler. See, this should have happened a long time ago. No, okay. It's bittersweet because the nation knows that we're strong. We're out there. But I have to take a step back from my leadership role in the nation. Applications are now out. If you want to be the leader of Stock Neutral Nation, we'll take the applications. But yeah, it's a sad day.
All 13 of us are going to be really disappointed.
Excuse me, the nation is strong. The nation is strong. The nation was going at Shotgun in our podcast question mentions.
Trying okay,
to convince
Keely,
him that
I've seen your
real.
Email list. It's like 13 names.
No,
all right.
There's an email list? No, no. So shout out to the nation. Thank you for being so strong all these years. Don't listen to Shotgun. We're out there. We're strong. Stock neutral is a thing.
I'm gonna actually get merchandise made of Stock Neutral Nation to profit off of this.
How dare
however,
you?
And you're not gonna get any of the profits from it because you're leaving us.
Well, I'll see how you organize that without me, Shotgun. We'll see how well that goes.
Well, I got organization skills.
Oh, boom, shakalaka. Alrighty, stock down.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Stock down on my official podcast status. Because while I am funny on this show and on Twitter, I have a degree in journalism. And I put this journalism degree to work, and I did some actual reporting and sourcing, and I have the full scoop of this story. It was the weekend of the Washington State away game when you two went to the game together. And I know I got the black box from the rental car. I have receipts that on the way back from the drive, you two knuckleheads came up with this scheme. Wouldn't it be funny if we waited all the way to the end to make him an official podcast member? And then within a month, we both leave. I did all the reporting. That's what happened. I'm sure of it.
Who are your sources, Chris?
I never reveal my sources.
Oh, true journalism right there. Well done.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Chris, you're like 2 hours away from me right now. So, you know, I may have moved away and you just followed me. So I don't know what you're talking about.
He's loading.
I didn't think about that one. Go to someone else. I got to think about this one for a second.
The best was when someone tweeted the Fresh Prince gif of Will Smith just standing in the empty room.
Look,
that's Chris.
That was funny, but that also like hit some feels right there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That hit home pretty strong.
That almost started a third ulcer, you know?
So, Chris, if you get a third ulcer, does that mean USC has to start throwing up three emojis? You know, is it going to be just three straight up, or is it three like basketball where you do the circle?
I think it would just have to be the three basketball, like the
letter,
three-pointer.
The letter B,
yeah,
the letter D.
Yeah. The similar to the Keeley K.
Just oh, that's a good description. Stonny, I didn't even think of it as that. Nice.
Yeah.
Shoddy, stock down. Who you got?
You. I got you stock down.
Oh, no.
Wow. You leaving us. This
I'm
is
sorry.
Stock down. No, we're excited for Keeley that she finally is moving on. I've been trying to kick her out for a long time.
It's true.
But it still hurts. It's painful. I don't like it. I'm sad.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, whatever. We got rid of her.
That's sad.
I'm just not used to you expressing like positive emotion. I guess it's not positive, but like, you know.
Wow, that's sad.
Keeley knows the main emotions that I show are frustration in myself and then anger when people are cheering in the press box.
Yeah, those are your two functions. There's like nothing really. And then like just general frustration at me. So the fact that it wasn't those three things, I just didn't know what to say besides that's sad.
Those are the three dials on the back.
Yeah, the shotgun robot.
But I feel like over the last like couple years, we've like etched out, we've like forced it to like move to like somewhat happy.
Gotta really, he's gotta doing
really
a bit right
it.
Now.
Gotta really grip it. We wrote it in like crappy Sharpie. He's like
a little
these
bit.
These dials go all the way to happy.
I mean, he'd have to be. Georgia teams are doing very well this year, so he has to be a little bit happy, right?
It's just like discount happy. That's what it is. It's just
discount happy.
Discount
happy. Braves did win the World Series. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go. I had stock down on. I had two things. I'm now doing what? You guys look like you're ready to pounce on me.
It's your. I wanted to be like symbolic. We each get one left, and it's just like gone off the rails. Whatever. Just
Chris,
10. I don't
it's
care.
Symbolic in the sense that we never pay attention to the arbitrary rules we place on ourselves. Mainly that's shotgun's rule, but you know. We just blow past it.
Let me jump into one of my normal bits, which is cutting you guys off to go backwards. Since you mentioned Georgia sports teams, you know, congratulations to Georgia winning the national championship. Even though they did everything possible to lose it, leaving Stetson Bennett in there. The man made two throws the entire game, and everybody wants to give him love. He didn't do anything. The defense did everything. But after the game, I told these guys, we got to talk about this. And they were like, why? Shotgun I was like, I got stuff to say.
Yeah, you were like, I got a rant about the national championship game. We were like, okay, go ahead, go on.
Yeah, it was awesome to see Georgia win and finally get over the hump against Alabama. But they could have won by like 45 points if they had an actual quarterback. So it's really interesting that Stetson Bennett's now coming back. I don't know what they're going to do going forward there. But I would like to see JT Daniels. Would like to see a real quarterback in there. Stetson Bennett, give him credit for stepping out of the way and avoiding the rush on the one play. Then he underthrows the receiver, and the receiver makes a great catch, and everyone goes, oh, my gosh, what a throw by Stetson Bennett. I'm like, what are you guys watching? Like, that was a ridiculous catch, not a great throw.
Two things I want to add. One being big play by Keeley on a big stage.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Keeley Nation. Throw up the case. Throw up the case.
Throw up the case.
We're throwing them up. Let's go. And then second, sounds like Stenson Bennett is like the definition of stock neutral quarterback.
Oh, wow. Chris, wow.
No, he wouldn't even be on the, what is it called when the stock goes to market? Like that, he wouldn't even be on market.
I forgot how to do the end. Hold
on. Chris is trying to make an end and can't make the end. Yeah. No, it's great. Why did it take this long for you to ditch your helium boy and be pro Keeley on this podcast? It took him this long to make an end with his fingers. Okay. Shouts to Keeley. Stock up for Keeley's making clutch plays and clutch times. You can always count on
give the
on
man
a
his last name.
What?
You going to give the man his last name? No one's even mentioned it was Keeley
Ringo.
He's
like Cher. He doesn't need a last name.
Exactly.
It's just Keeley.
The Keeley community is very proud of Keeley Ringo. We've had a Twitter conversation about our first names. It's great. Shout out to the Keeleys.
How would you have lost it or made it your header background if you threw up like a K?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Keeley Ringo, another former USC target that USC could not close on or even get close to because this was a 2020 recruit and their recruiting class was not very good. Keeley, I don't think you even got a chance to interview Keeley, did you?
I don't think I did because that would have been super fun. I would have loved it. It was also just so weird because like I never hear my name on like national television. So hearing Kirby Smart being like, thanks to Keeley. And I was like, what? You're welcome. Like it's very weird hearing my name. So that was a cool thing too. So shouts to the Keeleys. I think I was in the middle of Stock Down. I'm not sure.
Go for it.
Honestly, I don't remember what I had just come up with for Stock Down.
You said you had two.
I guess I did. I had Stock Down for leaving you guys. You guys are so fun. And I really enjoyed this podcast. I don't think I've ever laughed harder on a like work medium than with this podcast. Chris, you are a comedic genius. Shotgun, you look at history. There's a lot of there's just a lot of fun times. It's true, you do look at history. And then Stock Down for not only the emoji, but for Caleb Williams, just keeping us all in suspense. I don't know anything. I don't think anyone knows what the man wants to do at this point. Maybe this will be dated in 2 seconds and he's about to tweet it out just to spite me. But like anytime I go in the shower, anytime I do anything, I'm like, this is it. This is going to summon news because Chris knows anytime we do something that's not part near a computer, it summons transfer news. Right, Chris?
I went to drop someone off at the airport today. And I spent like 2 hours driving back and forth, and I was sure it was going to happen right there.
Yeah.
At this point, we're just trying to summon it.
Yeah.
You know, we're just doing stuff like, let's all go to the grocery store at the same time.
Exactly.
Maybe it's like rain dancing at this point.
Empty warehouse. You got to go to the empty warehouse, Chris.
Why?
That was your first summoning. He said, you know, that we'd have to go to empty warehouses where there's no service at all.
Oh, right.
The first time on this podcast that he mentioned it.
Well done, Shotgun.
Wow.
Excellent callback.
Look at that.
Great
callback.
No, but
you guys try to deny me earlier.
Because it was true. But there was twice, I think, Chris, where you were like, I'm just running to the store. You're the captain of the ship right now. And I was like, I got you. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, 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 emojis. Everything's blowing up, sirens in the distance. And yeah, so I really thought Chris was going to bring it today, but he did not. Shockingly.
The last 2 weeks, we loved just texting battle stations.
Yeah.
Everyone at your battle stations.
Battle stations.
Look, everyone's blaming Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is doing nothing wrong. You know, everyone's, you know, a lot of people that we got people on the message board, on the P, talking about, I'm tired of Caleb Williams' drama. What drama has Caleb Williams created besides entering the portal?
That's a good point.
And going and visiting a couple of schools. He isn't even publicizing the schools that he's visiting very much. I mean, that's all leaking out from other people. Other people have posted some things, you know, with him in a USC uniform or, you know, he did post that we went to the Rams and the Lakers games. Those weren't the universities that he went to, though. So, you know, everyone's freaking out about it. Like he's doing something and going and shopping at every single school or something. You got other people that are in a portal that are going and doing their regular visits. No one's talking about them causing drama. The only thing is Caleb Williams is the number one player on the market. So everyone wants to know where Caleb Williams is going to go and are then conflating that to be drama because he has not made a decision yet when he's taking his time going through the process and figuring out the right decision for him and his family.
I think that's a great point.
That's a really good point. I mean, people are just impatient and mad.
outside of those like two posts from the Lakers game and Rams game, that's like the only thing that people have been like, maybe you can construe that as drama, but he was just posting at the game. Yeah. He had great seats. I would post great seats at the game.
Amazing seats. That's it. He's already got an LA hookup, a ticket hookup at least.
Nice.
So you're absolutely right. You know, as DMV men, we're really respectful. You know, we don't like the drama. We stay away from the drama.
Chris, I thought you like famously said you're messy. Aren't PG County boys or DMV boys
messy? Cut that. No, we couldn't.
Okay. So basically, I need to retract my stock down since Shotgun, you proved me wrong.
Yay, this is what normally happens.
It's just everyone else around it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Stock down on those people.
Everyone wants to know the answer, and hey, we would love for it to pop off, you know, after we post this, at least, you know, give us time a little bit, Caleb, and then go just for it to be done and, you know, be settled, and then figure out what USC is going to do from there, whether it be with Caleb Williams or without him. You know, I don't know what you guys think, but I still believe it leans towards Caleb Williams ending up at USC. Just everything points in that direction, in my opinion, and what I've heard from different things is, you know, it just makes too much sense for him not to come to USC. Now, you know, if someone hires the right person or whatever it may be, or that maybe sways something. But as of right now, I still think USC ends up with Caleb Williams. But if he wants to practice during the spring, wants to throw to his new teammates during a regular, a scrimmage or whatever during the spring, he's got to make that decision pretty quickly here. You know, USC's got a couple more days of open enrollment for the last days of the spring semester, I believe it is, however it's correctly worded. But he has to be in classes soon if he's going to be at USC. So, you know, it seems like if it is USC, there will be a resolution pretty quickly. If not, then a lot of people are going to be scratching their head and wondering on the P, where does USC go if Caleb Williams is not, at school in the next couple of days?
Yeah, it's basically the 28th is the add drop deadline. And so basically that means that you can either add or drop a class, obviously. But that means that the window for enrollment is ending there. And we try and remind people the NCAA transfer portal is based on school. It's not a free agency portal where you can come and go whenever you please. It's also based in the enrollment period. So USC is actually a little bit at a disadvantage here because they are on the semester system and have that deadline earlier than schools who are maybe on a quarter system or something like that. So one way or another, we will have an answer for USC pretty soon here based on the fact that he needs to enroll, but we'll see.
A caveat, though, he needs to enroll to be able to practice in the spring. He could still wait and, you know, train somewhere else or stay at school at Oklahoma. I believe JT Daniels, he's in the transfer portal, but I believe he has to finish this semester at Georgia before he can transfer. He's got to graduate, so he'll be eligible next year. But those are the type of things that sometimes limit guys being able to make that move as soon as they want to. So, you know, if he wants to practice during the spring with his potentially new team, you know, if he goes back to Oklahoma, he could, you know, he just goes back to class, those type of things. But that's the caveat there. He can still wait all the way up until, you know, the fall drop date to officially be enrolled.
So given that Caleb knows Lincoln Riley and knows the system, is there pressure to come by the spring in that sense?
Yeah, that's interesting, thought process, because you know, he does have an advantage there, and you feel like you do know things there, and maybe he, you know, that's the thinking of the Williams family is, well, he already knows the offense, so he can catch up pretty quickly. But if you want to be a leader on the team, you need to get in as soon as you can to be able to establish your presence and, you know, be able to be in the locker room, get to know guys, and also just throwing with wide receivers. I mean, I think I mentioned this on Tunnel Vision, but you know, remember at the beginning of this season for USC, Keaton Slo was throwing to a bunch of new guys, Malcolm Epps and all these guys that are coming in, and the Michael Jackson and, you know, Taj Washington, all these new guys that he's not used to. Hey, he was really good throwing to Drake London, but there were some times when, you know, a guy would turn one way or be a step different than what he was anticipating, and there were some throws just not being completed. That's the things you want to be able to nip in the bud early and be able to get that stuff ironed out, you know, during the spring and during the summer workouts and throwing sessions. So when you get into the fall, you can be focusing on, you know, a lot more of the specifics rather than, you know, the general stuff of trying to know exactly how your receiver runs their routes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, even if you are the number one transfer prospect in the portal, even though you're the number one QB on the market, even though you're a going to be a Heisman contender the next couple years that you're in college, you still need time with your guys. You still need to get around the guys. You still need to get around the team. Everything you just said. And while you may know the offense, like 90% of the team does not know the offense, so they're still going to be learning. It would help you to be there to help them to learn the offense and also, you know, get into the motions of that with the, as they learn it.
Yeah, I mean, any extra guy that has been in the offense, so he and Mario Williams will just be able to teach the other guys around them. Mario Williams will be able to teach some of the receivers and say, oh, you know, when you see this, this is what you do. Caleb Williams, similar with everyone else around him, the offensive line will be able to help out with protections and different things like that, because everyone else is playing catch up. And for those guys, just having an extra set of eyes that know exactly what they're doing, I think really helps.
Can I just put in my PG County crystal ball?
Sure.
It's still on Caleb Williams to USC. That's all I got.
So is that a specific PG County crystal ball? Like, is it different from your Long Beach crystal ball?
Yeah, because I'm making it in PG County.
Okay. Oh, you make the crystal ball. You're not just using one the whole time.
What kind of sorcery are we talking about here? You guys are creating crystal balls out of thin air.
It sound like he's creating it.
It's a special branded crystal ball.
Oh.
I'm making it in PG County. I'm making the crystal ball pick right here, and I'm still holding Caleb Williams, USC. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Why? Tell the people why.
That's just what I feel. That's just what everything seems to be pointing to.
Okay. Okay.
Everything Shotgun said is on the money.
Yeah.
And, you know, there has been a lot of information thrown out there from sources and different things and all this. And we have been a little bit hesitant to report a lot of the things where other sites or other, you know, national reporters have thrown out things. Oklahoma City reporters saying he's down to certain schools. There's just been a lot of talk around it and very little necessarily coming from Caleb Williams and his side of the fence. So that's why we've been a little bit, you know, holding back a little bit on being very forceful with our opinions. But I think Chris agrees with me that, you know, it still feels like it's USC is the team that has the lead, at least in this recruitment.
It honestly reminds me of when Kawhi Leonard was in free agency and he was trying to pick. You know, it was such an interesting like microcosm or like a study on journalism, because it was one of those things where no one really knew because his camp was so quiet, but some people just kept saying things and some people, you know, it's been really hard sourcing wise, because I think when it's a big story, sources like to pretend like they know what's happening, when in reality, I really think it's just really close circle, and it's hard to determine what the Williams camp is thinking at any given moment right now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think that, you know, this is the thing where some people, if you guys are listening to this, just a little bit behind the scenes is, you know, there's always two sides of the story. So, you know, there's always the school side, and that's USC, that's UCLA, that's Oklahoma. So, you know, some people at those schools may feel a certain way about it, but how reliable is that person, and can you get confirmation from the other side? So that's what we're always trying to do is, you know, make things match up from one side and the other side and put them together and try to build on it from there, trying to get multiple people that are seeing the same thing or hearing the same things from different angles. And so that's what you're trying to look for here. And when one side is completely silent, like you've had on the Caleb Williams side, sometimes, as Keely said, that leads to a little bit more speculation where people, you know, are kind of wanting things to happen and wanting it to kind of play out and feel like things are going to play out in a certain way rather than knowing that they're playing out in a certain way.
Yeah.
Sort of like the USC coaching search.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great point. I mean, you know, obviously they kept it super tight. There was three or four, five people at most, you know, in the know on that. And so there wasn't a lot of leaks out of the information. They kept it super, super tight lip and were very, you know, ninja about it, going about how they attacked the process and interview people and did different things that way.
Very ninja about it.
Ninja. Yeah. I threw it in there.
Okay. Okay. Alrighty. Let's move into some questions. First one is from Eric, who said, if Lincoln Riley and staff made evaluations of the roster, what qualities did Miller Moss show the new staff that Jackson Dart maybe didn't really show? Were either of them on Lincoln Riley's recruiting radar prior to coming to USC? Now, I'm going to jump in here before you guys answer. I think Eric is insinuating that Riley told Dart to enter the portal, and that is not correct from what we've heard from sources. But go for it, guys.
Look, I did my best to really hone in on the question, but they're asking qualities that Miller Moss has and any people on the roster now that were recruited by Lincoln Riley. Is that what the question was?
This is
why there's a doc that you're supposed to have pulled up so you can actually read the question yourself as well, Chris. No, they asked, what qualities did Miller Moss show that Jackson Dart didn't show? So that's why Keeley said, no, Jackson Dart was not pushed out by the staff. That's not what we've been told. Were either of them on Lincoln Riley's recruiting radar prior to coming to USC? Now, Dart, obviously being a late riser in that class, you know, Caleb Williams was already committed to Oklahoma. So if you got Caleb Williams, you're not going out looking for anyone else. They already had depth on their roster. Now, Miller Moss, I believe he was recruited by Oklahoma early in the process, if I remember correctly. Maybe have gotten an early offer from them. And then obviously, once they got the commitment from Caleb Williams, they pretty much shut down their quarterback recruiting. So it didn't get to those late stages of the recruiting, you know, the top three, top five type of thing. So I don't think that they moved into that territory. But I do believe that the staff at least knew of Miller Moss and recruited him a little bit. I think they had offered him really early in the cycle. The qualities that Miller Moss has showed that I think the staff would like, well, you kind of adjust the question here, are the fact that he can get the ball out pretty quickly and he's a cerebral quarterback. So, you know, he can read defenses pretty well. And I thought he took a really big jump from the spring to the fall. And I think that was a part of it, was not having that senior season. You know, he had to play catch up a little bit, was a little rusty, and I thought he had a pretty good fall. You know, in the games, we didn't see really much from him. He handed off the one snap before he got into the Cal game. In the Cal game, he tossed the ball around, didn't really take the deep shot. And that's one of the things coming out of the fall, the coaching staff apparently told Moss they wanted to see him take a couple more shots downfield. Don't always, you know, take the sure bet with the check down, but we be willing to push the ball a little bit more. Not sure if that's what Lincoln Riley's going to want, if he wants him to take the check down. Moss is a guy that's going to try to limit his mistakes. And as Jackson Dart was a little bit more of a gunslinger, would take those chances downfield a little bit more. And that's where those two guys differed a bit.
Now, if you're listening, that's the first lesson. If you don't want to answer a question, but you want your coworker to, that's what you do. You see how I did that? Yeah, I turned that. I didn't say anything.
No,
play
you
dumb.
Just check out. Usually you wait till like the second question to
and
check out of the question portion.
That's how it's done. Welcome to my TED Talk.
Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to my TED Talk. And I just want to add that Lincoln Riley has this sort of strategy with quarterbacks, and when he's recruiting them in high school, that he focuses on one. He's like, you're my guy. You're going to be my guy. We're the only quarterback you're going to offer. They did that with Caleb. They did it with Malachi Nelson. So it's like they're telling him, this is how badly we want you. You're our guy. We want to make you the guy in the class. We're not focusing on anyone else. You're it. Come be part of this. That's sort of the strategy that Riley has taken when it comes to quarterback recruiting. That's sort of how USC tried to play it with Malachi Nelson. Mm-hmm. They were the only quarterback they had played. That's why it was such a big deal when they had went and offered Nico Shotgun.
I'm Aleva.
Keely, you can dub that to make it sound like me.
Of course.
Yeah. So, and that's why it was sort of like this whole thing for a couple weeks. It's like, oh, USC offered Nico. That means they don't think they're going to get Malachi. When Oklahoma zoned in on Malachi and they were like, you're our guy. And they got him. And obviously he's part of the class now. So that's sort of the strategy that Riley has played. So obviously there wasn't too much looking into Jackson. Obviously he came in late. And then obviously Miller as well.
Yeah, and speaking on that, that's a strategy that has burned USC in the past because, you know, they've been kind of torn in between, like, can we get this guy? Can we get this guy? And they kind of recruit both guys. You know, the most notable one probably Shea Patterson and KJ Costello. Same thing happened with Tua a little bit later. And then they actually settled in 2020, Bryce Young. Bryce Young was going to be their guy, and that's who they got committed early. And obviously you had Bryce Young, you had DJ Ungalele, you had CJ Stroud, who popped up a little bit later, but USC stayed on Bryce Young the entire time, and it burned him. So, you know, there's two different ways to go about it, and you can make it work either way, but when you're not playing well like USC in 2020, that's what happens. You lose your top-end guy that's committed, and then you don't have a backup plan there. So that's why USC had to go into 2021 and get a couple of quarterbacks.
All I know is Shotgun's is going to be cool when he's at the Polynesian cookouts. He's got everyone's name on lock. He ain't got no problem. That's all I'm saying.
I just make an effort. I don't know if I got them on lock, but I make an effort.
See, we should have been invited. We should have had a Family Feud trip to the Poly Bowl. That would have been a great episode. Just saying.
Would have been lit.
To talk to the boss, Keely.
We got multiple questions about this, but I'll read Mike's question. He said, do you believe Jackson Dart is waiting on Caleb Williams to commit? And if William commits elsewhere, where do you think Dart would return, or would even JT return?
I don't know. What do you think, Chris? Do you think that he's waiting around for Williams to commit? That's not usually a quarterback mentality, is to wait around and see what another guy does. You know, with those, the alpha male type of personality that you, the top end quarterbacks normally have. Now, it's a little bit different situation because maybe you're waiting to see he really wants to come back to USC and that's why he would wait. But I just don't feel like that's necessarily the case. And maybe I'm wrong about this one, but I just don't feel like Dart, you know, the mentality we've seen, at least on the field, that he's a guy who's going to wait around for someone else to make a decision to choose his decision off of.
Yeah, I certainly think it feels that way from the outside looking in. You're kind of looking at on paper like, oh, these guys are just waiting to see what's going to happen. I don't really necessarily feel like there's sort of any waiting game, like Jackson Dart and his camp are kind of waiting, watching, looking for Twitter updates on Caleb Williams and what he's doing, or looking at fight on emojis. I don't think they're doing any of that. And I think, like you just said, I think Dart is a guy who's just going to go pull the trigger. He's a gunslinger. He's going to go where he thinks is the best fit. That being said, I think if Caleb didn't go to USC, you know, wherever he goes, the LSU, Georgia, whatever, some other school, I think there would be sort of a push maybe by Lincoln to maybe, you know, kick the tires a little bit, like, hey, you know, this is, I know it'd be sort of an awkward situation. I would never be able to sell it. You couldn't. I would just fumble the bag immediately. Lincoln has way more swag than me. He would be able to wait to finesse it, get back in the good graces or whatever, make the pitch so it didn't come off maybe as bad as it maybe looks, like, hey, Caleb, no Caleb, maybe Dart, maybe want to come back a little bit, whatever. Yeah, so I think they would at least, you know, kick the tires, see what the camp is feeling. Because, you know, I think Jackson Dart really does or, you know, loves USC. I think he liked his time there, and I think he fit in that environment and the USC vibe. So I think they would at least, you know, think about it, or if he's not committed, if, you know, Williams went somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they would try to get him back in the coaching staff if possible, but I don't think that's necessarily his thinking on it. And, you know, I think what Dart has, he's just taking his time and going through the process. He's visited three schools so far, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, and I believe BYU. Are there any other schools that he wants to visit? That's kind of the question there. And I think he's just taking his time and actually taking those visits, rather than try to stuff them all into one weekend or, I mean, 1 week. I think that he's just, you know, being able to try to see what the atmosphere is like on a weekend, you know, when Ole Miss has a basketball game or when Oklahoma has a basketball game, and see what the vibe is around campus. So I think that's more of it than, when's Caleb going to commit? I'm waiting to see what my decision is based off of that.
Coop on Twitter wanted to know, I assume all the portal transfers will be eligible to play in the spring, correct?
As far as we know, everyone, the couple guys I've talked to said they're trying to get to campus immediately. So the reason why you see all the commits right now, and especially this past week, I believe it's six now that have committed in this past week or last week, that they want to be able to commit and then be able to enroll so that they can get to class and be able to play during the spring, because especially with a new coaching staff, you want to be there. You don't want to miss anything because you want to prove yourself immediately.
We got a question from West who said, who's the biggest impact transfer so far and what's a realistic expectation for next year?
I mean, gun to my head, I feel like Mario Williams is sort of the one you kind of point to just because he's the highest ranked transfer they have. You know, USC's receiving core needs a boost after losing Drake London. And outside of him, there wasn't a lot of big plays coming out until like Gary Bryan late. But I think just like looking at it now, I think Shane Lee is the one I would pick just because USC sorely needed linebacker depth, linebacker help in general, you know, losing Kenai Mauga. They needed an impact player there, and I think Shane Lee, you know, even though he hasn't played in the last, you know, couple seasons, he does have big-time college experience. You know, he started at Alabama. He was a freshman All-American. You know, he's a little bit bigger than you. He's 240. He's a stout little guy. He's a hitter. So I'm interested to see how that works with that defense. But I think that's a guy who could step in right away and kind of be a playmaker on this defense, and that's a spot they sorely need depth. at a position that's sort of underachieved the last couple seasons. And obviously they have two young guys there and Rajon Davis and Julian Simon who could come in and maybe develop into starters this season. But Shane is a nice little bridge player that you can have in there that maybe, you know, start, put one of the young guys alongside of him and then kind of see what happens. So I would go with Lee, and not just because he's from Maryland, but that is a big part.
Are you guys concerned about Shane's injury history at all?
No, I think that, you know, last year he played 11 games, I think it was. So, you know, 13. It was on special teams. 13 last year. Okay, then I think it was 11 a couple years before that. He's played a number of games. It's not like he's missed a ton of action. He did miss part of the 2020 season. But I think that the fact that he's been healthy enough to play this past season, even though it wasn't in the mix at linebacker that much, I think that that tells you I'm not that concerned about the injury history. Now, how does he fit in this defense? That's a question a little bit. You know, the guy that stands out to me, you know, going in a different direction, if you're talking just immediate impact and impact next season, I think Travis Dye. I think what he can do for that running back room, you know, just being an older guy and helping those younger guys along the way, Brandon Campbell, Relique Brown, and even Darwin Barlow, and the fact that he can catch the ball in the backfield so he can be a dynamic, you know, mismatch, you know, get him on a linebacker, and that's things that you're going to teach Relique Brown as well. So I think that, you know, he can be an immediate guy. On the other side, you know, since you went with the Maryland guy, I'd go with the Georgia guy, Romello Height, a guy that can get to the quarterback. You know, that's something that USC has not done enough of in the past couple of years. You know, if you remember, what was it, 2016 or 2017, they led the nation in sacks with Uchenna Nwosu. They haven't come anywhere close to that. They haven't been very good at getting to the quarterback and getting the quarterback down. Now, Height has been able to get a lot of pressures this past season. You know, his first action really for Auburn as a redshirt freshman, he didn't get any sacks, so he's got to get that take that next step. But a guy at 6'3", 6'4", 220, 230, he's listed at 214 by Auburn, but that dude does not look 214. So he's a guy that can come off the edge, has speed, and just listen to some of the other Auburn players talk about him in some interviews, you know, reading up on him. You know, they think he can be a special player. So I think that, you know, having him on one side and Corey Foreman or Nick Figueroa or Tuli Tuipulotu or loading those guys on the same side, I think it just gives you a lot of options. I think coming off the edge, he could be a difference maker for USC. And getting to the quarterback affects everything on the defense. And that's one of the things I think that Todd Orlando's defense, they tried to get pressure so often, but when they weren't able to get the quarterback, that's when they were burned a lot of times. So I think he's a guy to watch this season. I think he could be, you know, a really impact player.
Tim tweeted, it doesn't seem to have hurt guys like Caleb Williams or Brock Bowers, but have you heard of any coaches or people in the know talk about how much the lack of high school football in certain places last year hurt player development? Hoping that's why some of 21's players didn't contribute.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something we all heard during the season talking to coaches. Maybe it was Orlando or someone would mention, like, this guy didn't play high school. He's basically a high school senior because he missed that time. I mean, reps are always important, especially at the quarterback position. I think that's why we saw, you know, a guy like Miller Moss sort of struggle a little bit in the spring when he came in, and Jackson Dart had that incredible spring, because Jackson did play his senior season in Utah. He got all those reps. And then, you know, Miller was regulated to just working out or maybe throwing with a couple of people during, you know, that 2020 the height of that 2020 pandemic. So he didn't really get those valuable reps at quarterback. So that's why Jackson looked a little bit more advanced than him in the spring. And then that kind of evened out in the fall. So obviously, yeah, we've heard that being talked about last year with the coaches, with players. I definitely think it did affect them, because it's such valuable reps at the high school level. Even if you're like a dude playing against like in a not great competition, that's still like experience, that's still, you know, things you're seeing out there, that's still things you're learning. So obviously that does affect some players more than others, but yeah, we've seen that a couple places with the guys in the 2021 class.
Yeah, and I think even a guy like Corey Foreman, and you know how much he was banged up this year. Yep. Because you take a complete year off of the, you know, the grind of your body taking that impact and creating that kind of that callus, that shield armor around you, then you get banged up a little bit more. And I think that was something that he dealt with this past year as well from not having a season. So I think some of the California kids definitely did. Now, some other guys jumped on the scene and, you know, looked good in their first action, like Kalen Bullock. But what would he have looked like if he did have a senior year? Would he have been even a step further along? That's something we don't really know, but I think you did see it really impact some players.
So now we're transitioning more into the final episode comments/questions. First one is from SC and SG, who said, first of all, Keely, this is bittersweet. You were the best. Congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm double checking. I don't think he's talking about USC basketball here. He said, now for the question, will the USC offense break 70 points in a game this year? Will it break 60 or 50? How many times will it break 40?
70 points in a game? Chris, what do you think? I mean, the Lincoln Riley offense is explosive. And especially the first year where defenses aren't going to, you know, be fully keyed on it like the Big 12 was and not have, you know, that background knowledge. I think there could be some explosive games this season for USC. But 70 is a difficult number to get to.
That's a big number.
I don't know when the last time USC got to 70. It's been a long time. You know, they've gotten to, I think they got to 63, you know, once in the last 5 or 6 years, but I think that's it, over 50 or over into the 60s. But so 70 is way up there.
I don't think we'll get a 70. I do think we'll get a 60. I think we'll get a couple of 50s, and I will say, like, I'll say like 540s.
Who's the 60 coming against? Rice?
Colorado.
Yeah, Rice. I think Rice is a good candidate to get that 60.
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado.
I don't know what all they're bringing in, but you know, you lose Nate Landman. You lost both your cornerbacks to the transfer portal. They've got a lot of holes to fill there. And getting pressure on quarterbacks, they just didn't do that consistently. And how much is their offense going to help them out? Because that's one of the things, if you get the ball back quickly, you can score more points, and their offense didn't do anything last year. So I don't know what Colorado's going to be this upcoming year as far as what they've got coming in, but they lost some important pieces off the defense already.
Now, All Day Trojans either is in cahoots with you, Shotgun, or is just a faithful member of the nation. He said, stock neutral t-shirts, question mark? I mean,
talk to someone this week about some potential merchandise. So hopefully we're going to take some steps.
Wow. As I'm leaving, you take the steps to make merch.
Hell yeah.
I have also looked into merchandising this week. Coincidentally, it's a Helium Board cahoots.
No, I see.
So we're hoping in the year 2020, the year of your Lord Lincoln Riley for the USC fans, that they'll have
2022, Chris.
What did I say?
2020. 2020? We don't mention that year.
2022. Okay. 2022. There's a lot of twos in there. I'm sorry.
Just throw out all the twos. We had a question from Dustin who said, what did Chris do and who will he run off next?
That one hurt me. that one really hurt me. I felt that in my spine.
Oh, that's really hurting you for sure.
It feels more like he's just banishing people. Like he sent Dan back to Kentucky. He sent me to the frigid tundra.
I didn't send Dan anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you?
Now he sent Keely to the dark side.
That's the
Death Star.
That's the reveal at the end of the series for the spinoff. Like I log off. I log off. It's over. The final episode, and then I turn, and then you see my giant diagram, like my yarn work of like. Xing out. Like I got rid of Shotgun. I put him all the way across the country. Keely, I sent her away. Dan, I made him retire. I'm just Xing off people one by one. Ryan's next.
Wow. Ryan's next.
Ryan's going to have to build up the army back to face off against Chris in this battle.
Ooh, gaining power. Series. Look at that. Do you get stronger the more people you send off?
Yes, I feed off your life force.
Wow.
What are you, Matthew Stafford?
Yeah,
I just want to take their soul.
Is that what he said?
Like Shang Tsung. Yes. He said that, you know, he would love to have, this is the Rams Buccaneers game where the Bucks come back from 3 touchdowns down. He said, I would love to have been taking knees, you know, up by 3 touchdowns, but to win like that, where you made 2 big passes to Cooper Kupp with less than a minute to go. He said to reach in and just steal someone's soul away from him. It feels good. And so it reminded me a lot of Mortal Kombat and Shang Tsung.
Speaking of great NFL divisional playoff quotes, I that's a great, great quote, but I do prefer Andy Reid's, when times are grim, be the Grim Reaper.
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
That one's really good when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That one doesn't work so well if he was still in Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts or, you know, Gardner Minshew.
Sad. Sad. Well, the rest of the comments / questions we have is for me leaving. How dare I? I apologize. Very much so. I'm very sorry. And a lot of people just sharing their love for the Feud podcast. I just want to take a second to thank everyone who sent in questions every week for us. You guys were great. We love Samuel. He was one of them who said, I honestly look forward to Family Feud podcast more than USC games these last few years. So thank you so much. And Hokey Pokey, Gustavo, you know who you are. The contributors, Jason, all of you guys. We really appreciate you guys. You guys held it down from the beginning. So we appreciate you guys.
Definitely. You know, there are a couple more comments that ask when Keeley's coming back as a guest. Will there be a backdoor deal where we get dibs on all the info? And I don't think you guys realize part of USC hiring her away is that so she doesn't have as many scoops anymore. You know, now that they keep that in home, you know, if you can't beat them, then hire them. That's kind of the deal there. And Keeley's not coming back as a guest. She's too big time now. You know, she's off on her own. We're not having her around anymore.
What?
We're cutting ties completely. You know, we're too heartbroken over here to have her come back. So she's too big time for us.
So I'm the ex that's saying we can still be friends. And you guys are like, nah, you're out.
Yeah,
I already blocked your number. Second the Skype ends, I'm blocking her number.
Oh my goodness.
Well, she's Skyping from the studio. So, you know, that and we're taking the key away
she's
from her
key,
studio.
Yeah.
So
taking out our retinal scans for the doors, whatever. It's all gone.
Yeah, our fort that we have. But yeah. Chris, I did tell you I was sending in my friendship application. I was just wondering if you received it yet.
That might have got lost in the mail. I'm sorry. I live out in the woods out here.
I thought you weren't supposed to disclose your location.
Look, if I say woods in PG County, that could be any number of places.
Okay,
that's all
I don't know the geographical, the topographical stuff.
There's woods and then there's more woods.
Okay.
That's all they got.
Okay.
Chris, do have to warn you, I got a package from Keeley, but it was ticking. So I went ahead and threw that away.
Oh, no. Yeah, shotgun. I don't know if that was for me, so you might want to.
That was a custom alarm clock that she got.
That's what it was.
But you can never be too sure. Never be too sure.
Alrighty, well, Chris, for the last time, it is time for me to pass it over to you. It's time for some take it or leave it.
Come to this. I don't know if this will be the final fake corporate sponsor or the final take it or leave it. I don't feel like it will be, but this will be obviously the final.
With me involved.
What?
With me involved. Teeving it up.
Yes, teeving it up. We'll see if teeving survives in the new era of podcasting on uscfootball.com. But I hope I don't butcher this. So we're gonna try to get through this. I hope everything's clear. I hope the audio is clear. Am I coming in good?
Yeah. You're making me nervous, but yes.
I'm not It's the season finale. One sec.
He just muted himself for a little bit of water. He's really making this ad read special.
We got to go out on top. We got to go on top. Just want to make sure I have everything ready. So, obviously, this is the final Family Feud fake corporate sponsor. Thank you to all the sponsors that we've had.
Yeah.
All the ridiculous sponsors that put up with me. You know, some I had to beg to come on. Some begged me to put them on. So, we've had a nice mixture of that. All starting, does anyone remember the first fake corporate sponsor?
Don't have that call back.
Ooh. All I remember is the goat farm.
That was not the first one.
But I do remember that one.
Yeah, does anyone have one that sticks out in their mind? Keeley being the goat farm, I guess.
The horse hat stands out, but that wasn't necessarily.
Horse hat will live on in infamy.
Wow.
Pumpkin patches, you know,
stencils.
The tender.
There's a lot.
Very first one, cheese nips.
Oh, yeah. As I have a box of Cheez-Its,
what are you doing?
Oh, oh my god!
I'm gonna get an angry letter.
Hey, I got a separate NIL deal here.
Oh wow!
Oh look, Dan Nips is calling me head of Cheez-Nips Corporation. He's gonna be real pissed on that one. Dan Nips.
Okay.
Family business. Okay, so we're moving on to the final one. Shotgun. If what do you feel like this whole podcast, the feud has shown you is the most important thing in our lives?
Cheese nibs is one. But it's called the Family Feud podcast. So it's got to be family, right?
Obviously, it's family. And that's why we did a special partnership this week for a local place out here in Maryland, Mother Goose Adoption Agency.
Okay.
So here in Maryland, right here in Maryland, PG County, DMV, very proud, very happy and proud to partner with this organization who can help you find a home no matter what. Need a pet? You got it. Move to a new city and need a new friend group? Mother Goose got you. Did you not want to make a guest appearance with an established USC podcast, but you accepted because two coworkers made you come in and reluctantly agree because you had nothing better to do in the pandemic, and then you secretly started enjoying it and then went to go and one day dream about being an official member of that very podcast that terrified you because it was silly and fun and stupid and hilarious and beautiful and magical, but you accepted it, and you accepted that it would be nothing more than a running bid for you to join, and you never thought it would happen until one day they did a heartfelt gesture and welcomed you into the family, only for both of them to leave you within a span of a couple months, effectively ending the podcast and making it seem cruel and vindictive? Yeah, they can help with that. So take in a handsome orphan... handsome bearded orphan and leave the knife in my back so we can always remember the pain. Mother Goose, you'll always find a home with friends.
Oh, cute. Thanks to Mother Goose.
Chris, that seemed oddly specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was just one of the prompts they wrote for us. I didn't approach it. I didn't give any input. They apparently this happens, you know. Apparently this is a common enough thing where it's like, hey, this will connect with people, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah,
makes sense. Okay.
So thanks to
Mother Goose.
Thanks to Mother Goose. Number one, Shotgun already touched on it, but the Fight on Tweets campaign.
Taking
or leaving.
Taking
your hard take. I saw that coming.
I'm going to take it. And I think it's just interesting because I think Shotgun said this too, but imagine if this happened during the Helton era. People would be like, okay. Great. But now everyone's on pins and needles. It's effective.
Fair enough. Travis Dye has the best mustache on the team now.
Oh.
Ooh.
I know Shotgun loves a little facial hair.
Hair.
Subsection themes.
True. You know, that is your flow. Specialty, Shotty.
Liam Douglas did have a good one. Obviously, he has entered the transfer portal, but I still think it's Justin Dietich.
Yeah.
Dietich just someone knocks him off.
Yeah, I cannot go against Dietich, so I'm gonna leave it.
Yeah, he can pull trucks, so we're gonna not get in his way.
Yeah.
We have a better chance against Dye. Unless Dietich's mom makes him cut it off for picture day. Family photos.
Is that a thing?
That happened. Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
I don't know if you were there that day. It was in the ghost notes.
Oh, apologies.
Moving on. Double-digit wins for USC in 2022. Shaka's making a face.
That's a good one.
Shaka's making a face.
I'm going to take it.
Ooh, okay.
If you had asked me prior to the transfer portal palooza,
absolutely, I knew you would have said no.
I would have leaved it. Left it. Gone.
If you would have asked her before she's going to be a part of the athletic department.
No, I don't care. I'm still going to say what I feel.
I don't take it, you know. Excited to see what this team can do, but obviously they got to get some more quarterback depth. You know, if it's going to be Miller Moss, going to be Caleb Williams, going to be somebody else, got to get at least one more guy in there. Because right now you got Miller Moss and only Mo Hassan as the scholarship guys.
Here's the thing, though: if you're Lincoln Riley and you have an opening for a quarterback, I feel like that's going to be super easy with the portal. Yeah, like I know we talk about Dart and Williams, but at some point that's still an attractive offer for someone out there, right?
That's a valid point. However, if you're waiting on Caleb Williams and he decides, you know, he doesn't give a full indication before this window closes, then you know some of the other quarterbacks that are on the market may sign so that they can sign somewhere else so they can practice during the spring. USC is now taking leftovers or guys that didn't win their job in the spring. So I think that it makes it a little bit more difficult if you can't get somebody in the next, 4 days?
Fair.
Put USC down as a dark horse playoff contender if Caleb Williams comes to USC.
I'll take it as a dark horse. I still got some concerns on the defensive side of the ball and how everything kind of comes together in year one, but with a guy who's already been in the system. That gives me a little bit more confidence with the offense. If you get if the defense plays well enough, and I just, the Pac-12, I don't think there's anybody that you're really scared of out there. I mean, Utah, I think they're bringing back a lot and could be, you know, the team that's probably going to be the favorite in the Pac-12 South, at least to begin with. And some of the other teams are doing some positive things like Arizona, but, you know, I think that they could definitely be there. Now, will USC slip up somewhere? Who knows? But as a dark horse, I'll take it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take it for all the reasons Shotgun just said, but also just because how easy it is in the Pac-12 to take care of your opponents and then kind of rise to prominence. I mean, the fact that USC is already kind of in the 10 range for way too early polls when nothing's really happened yet on the field shows you that, like, I'm just saying as far as in the college football committee, playoff committee era, I think that hype can kind of give USC an extra boost there.
Valid point. Yeah, I see what you're saying there, because you got to usually you have to start high to finish high, or you're trying to come up from the 20s and you slowly are making your way up, and it's that much more difficult than if you start up higher. But we've seen far too often USC be overranked early and not be able to live up to it.
Yeah,
in the last decade,
for sure.
USC's O-line will be the best in the Pac-12 next season.
See, I just don't have enough knowledge of the rest of the returning Pac-12 offensive lines right now for me to, like, fully give a good answer about that. If you want to say most snaps...
Sounds like a team.
It sounds like a team. If you want to say most snaps, I feel like Andrew Voorhees is, like, the outlier and has, like, 2 million. So that has to be most played. I don't know. Shot, do you know?
Most experience is what you're saying?
Yes.
The most experienced lineman returning?
Yes.
I'm just going to take it because USC graded out great this past season, and being able to keep Voorhees and Nealon and Dedich, you know, it gives them great foundation for where they can go. And if you can get Cortland Ford, Jonah Monheim, one of those guys to take a next step, and there's still the possibility they add a big, big piece in someone like Josh Connerly, or adding an extra piece from the portal, you know, those are still possibilities for USC. You got Bobby Haskins. He should be a guy that'll be in the mix in the starting rotation. But there's real concerns with depth, you know, much more even so than last year. Last year, I felt like you had probably 8 guys coming in that you felt comfortable with. This year, right now, it's at 6 or 7, and, you know, one injury puts you on the threshold of danger, the danger zone of throwing in inexperienced guys that you don't really trust out there.
Gary Bryant, 1,000 yards next season.
I'm going to leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it. I don't think he's going to be the feature guy, and I think the ball is going to get spread around pretty good because I don't think that they're – having not seen Mario Williams myself, I don't think that there's that elite guy that's going to just – you know, Drake London getting the ball over and over and over in the same regard. So I think it'll be spread around, and, you know, maybe they can get multiple guys, and if they get multiple 1,000-yard guys, maybe that's the case.
And his injury history also gives me pause.
Let's keep it with the wide receivers. Mario Williams will be the wide receiver 1, 2022.
I'm leaving it. I just think there's so many other options. And, you know,
who's your wide receiver 1 then?
I don't have one. I'm taking the field. I'm doing right here. Brendan Rice could be a guy. You know, we've seen him with no quarterback play at all be able to put up some big numbers. Terrell Bynum's a guy that was all Pac-12 previously in his career. You know, Gary Bryant's an option. Kyle Ford, if he's healthy, you know, obviously we've seen the playmaking ability he has. So I think there's more options. So I think it's a safer bet, you know, to take the field in this one versus taking Mario Williams.
Andrew Voorhees, All-American 2022.
Shotgun's doing his thing. He's looking something up in true Family Feud fashion. He's looking up some stat to smack me around with. Hold on. What's your standard here? Is it like any publication or is it like a consensus?
Let's say it's like not consensus. It's not Reader's Almanac All-American team. It's like a decent All-American team.
I just feel like Voorhees is kind of people don't really like recognize him nationally.
Voorhees was trashed so many times, for what felt like a long time by USC fans, and then he came back to being like a really good offensive lineman.
Well, in his defense, he was kind of the utility guy who moved around a lot. He was never in like one positional home, if you will.
Yeah, and he was also a guy that was thrown into the mix. You know, he's not a five-star guy coming out of high school. He's played at a smaller school in high school in Kingsburg, and he gets thrown in the mix immediately. He's the first offensive lineman thrown in there, even before a guy like Austin Jackson. So I think that he took his lumps his first year and a half or so, and I think he's grown from that, and he's a grown man now. So I think that him coming back, once he came back from that injury that plagued him in the 2019 season, I think he's been a different guy and been just super solid for them. So the question for me, I think the answer, I'm taking it that he's going to be All-American, because I think he was All-American a couple of like third team, fourth team this season. The question, though, is position. Does he stay at left tackle? Because I think that hurts his value a little bit as far as on the All-American teams, because I think he can be a dominant guard versus a tackle. I think he'll have some more ups and downs just because that's not necessarily his strength as much as the interior, where you can just run over people. The guard tackle, the GT pools, we'll see, you know, how they use them and do some different things like that. But I think that, you know, he can have a really good season and do it again.
Final one. Got to go a little basketball.
Oh.
Hoop, there it is.
Hoop, there it is.
USC basketball returns to the top five.
Ever? What's our time frame here?
This season.
I'm going to have the best USC beat basketball. Right. What's your title you give me,
Chris? Wow, wow. Just one, you botched that, world, but also
I tried to.
The world's greatest USC basketball beat writer?
Yeah, I'll have him go first as a courtesy.
The schedule sets up for USC that, you know, they got three games this week. If they can get through that, starting with Arizona State right after we finish this podcast, so it'll be a little bit dated there, that they can win the next three games at home, and then they're going to go on the road to Arizona to play Arizona and ASU. And if they win at Arizona, they could take a big jump forward, because that's one of the things that's hurting them right now. They only moved up one spot, even though there were seven teams that in front of them that lost games this week. They only moved up one spot from 16 to 15. So I think it's a tough hill for them to climb, because after that Arizona game, they've got another matchup with Arizona eventually somewhere. It's got to be slotted into the schedule, just thrown in there to be rescheduled, and two matchups with UCLA. So those are opportunities for them to climb up the rankings. But I think at best they're going to split in those games, just because I think that, you know, those three teams are the top notch. And I think all three of them will end up splitting with each other when all is said and done, unless Arizona proves they're just that good and, you know, take over the entire conference. So I don't think there's going to be enough for them to climb into the top five, but, you know, they could find their way in the top 10 and kind of rest in there. And if they can get a 3 or 4 seed in the tournament, I think they're set up for a nice run once again.
You know what's crazy? I was about to say that exact same thing, and Chakan just read my mind. He got it
all
out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice of you to let him go first, so right? He can get the point.
I know. Yeah. I just wanted, you know, he is the world's best beat writer for USC basketball, something of that nature. Yeah, I'm going to leave it as well. You know, Chuck and I are on the same page.
Those and the corporate ones, thank you to Mother Goose Adoption Agency. Adopt, don't shop, as they say. I got some fun ones. Let's run through these real quick, because I know Shotgun's got to get out of here to be the world's greatest USC basketball beat writer, blah, 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 blah. So let's get through these. There's a restaurant in Pittsburgh called Beto's, that serves pizza with cold cheese on top.
Is there normal hot cheese underneath it?
No, it's just the sauce, and they put the cold cheese and cold toppings on it. That's how you eat it.
So it's a Lunchable?
Essentially, yes. But I feel like the bottom is warm.
What a quote.
But essentially, yes.
So a Lunchable if they threw in the microwave for 5 seconds.
How gotcha. Much am I paying for this? I'm leaving it.
I do not have a price for you.
I mean, I would try it, but I'm still leaving it.
Okay. Wordle.
Okay, this has been like a craze, but I haven't been on it. I haven't jumped in. I don't know why. Are you a Wordler, Chris?
I'm not a Wordler. I see people post their Wordles. Wordling.
I take it. I'm all for the games that people play on their phones to be something that has some intellectual value.
This is not an answer.
Rather than Candy Crush, but I'm not playing any games, so I'm not participating, but I take it.
Okay.
You're both taking it. Okay, the new M&Ms.
What are the new M&Ms?
The new character rebrands.
What? I haven't seen them yet. I heard about it, but did not. The all I know is the green M&M has traded in her heels for some athletic shoes.
They're less sexy, is what I'm saying.
But who needs M&Ms to be sexy?
Have you not watched an M&M commercial?
Like, is that really thing. Like, wow, that heels, those heels on that M&M, I'm going out and buying M&Ms now? Like, what is the point there?
Look, all I'm saying is everyone's talking about M&Ms being less sexy. So are you taking or leaving less sexy M&Ms? That's all I want to know.
Leaving this subject is weird. Leave it. Let M&Ms be M&Ms. Heels or no heels.
I have no real opinion on this, but I'll take it just to be in opposition to Keely.
You're a sexy Skittles man. I got you. I read you loud and clear. Jackson State University's official offer graphics having Deion Sanders as the offer. It's like putting himself on the offer that they send out.
I mean, he is the like a big part of the brand.
He is the brand. He's the entire attraction there. Before he got there, people weren't going to HBCUs just because they wanted to go. No, when he got there, it's like, oh, I can go. Every player you talk to, Travis Hunter, any of those guys, is, well, I can go play for Coach Prime. Why would I not go play for the best? I can do this two ways, all that type of stuff. So definitely taking that.
Yeah, I'll take it.
And finally, take or leave, me getting a 10K cat tattoo. Will I be getting this tattoo? Do you think it's going to happen?
Explain to the people what you just like randomly tweeted out. I believe
and the thought process.
If you didn't see what I tweeted, I just basically said I thank people for getting 9K. Then I quote tweeted, I said, if I get 10,000 followers before spring practice, which we still don't have a date on, but I'm assuming it's a couple months, I will get a 10K, 10, and then the K, tattooed on my body somewhere.
Why did you decide this?
Yeah, where did this come about?
It was like, if we're looking at the breakdown, it's like 40% acting out because Keely's leaving. Like, your parents are getting divorced, so you're just, like, acting out. Now you're smoking and doing all that. 20%, like, I don't really care. 30%, like, I didn't think it would happen, or I don't think it would happen. And whatever the last percent, like...
10%.
It's like, whatever. It's just my brand to do something stupid and sure. Don't really think about it.
Chris, you have any other tattoos? You do not,
I do not have a tattoo.
So you should have said your first tattoo. That would have really gotten people going.
Do you really want to get people going? That's the question.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But the best part is that RJ asked you if you were going to put it on the ham hocks, and you were like,
no, the hocks have to remain pristine.
solely for
is
buckets.
Like the, yeah, exactly. I was thinking, Nick Young, disarm solely for buckets.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So take or leave. Is it going to happen? Do you think I'll be getting a tattoo this year?
So going off of past spring camp starts, it's like March, right? And who knows what Riley will do. That's a short span of time, Chrissy T.
The first one is usually the week of the Pac-12 basketball tournament, which starts March 9th. So that's about, it's about 5-6 weeks. But I'm taking it because my cousin used to live in Siberia. So I'm sure he knows some people that can get some Russian bots going. And we're going to make this happen.
Oh,
I am just, at the time of this podcast, I'm just over 9,500.
Oh, yeah, that's happening.
Oh, let's go.
You just crossed 9,000 like 3 days ago.
Okay, this is happening. And second of all, I'm taking it. Second of all, I feel like you need some like Maryland in it. You need like a PG County. You need like a feud. You need to like really style out this 10K.
I'll send you guys mock-ups of what if it happens.
Okay.
If it happens. We're not there yet. I'll start getting like nervous if we're like at 9,800.
Okay, get Chris to 10K. Let's do it. I want to see it. But where are you going to put it?
That is not, that has not been like thought about. Tramp stamp. I've gotten tramp stamp. Maybe I'll get it under like the butterfly tattoo, like the game has under my eye.
Like a teardrop.
Get a little side boob action. You know, something. Something for the fellas.
Yeah, of course.
Wow. Lots of options.
Well, do keep us updated on your progress, for sure.
Or you could just look at his Twitter account and see.
Okay, that's what I meant. I guess that's true too. There's an actual way for me to check. Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I'll give you the update on the next Family Feud.
Well, I forgot. I'm sorry. Okay, I guess on that note, it's time for us to wrap up the Family Feud podcast series finale.
Forever.
It's crazy. I remember Shotgun and I, we started it like after the Texas game in 2017, I believe. It was basically like I wanted us to talk without like having like a Ryan or a Dan or a Harvey, like kind of a youth pod, if you will. Even though we're not so youth anymore. But yeah, so that's going to end it. Chris, thank you so much for your contributions. You're a member in our hearts forever. And also, I just got to say, you guys are very lucky to have Chris and Shotgun. Chris works his butt off. He is so great at what he does. And Shoddy, his brain, just like with the numbers and the charting, his whole thing is just being right. And obviously, if you listen to this podcast, but also just like if he goes on a rant about Keaton Slovis, it's not because he has some like slant or he's in love with Keaton Slovis. He just really wants to tell the truth based on stats and everything like that. So these guys are great. You guys are in good hands with these two. That's all I gotta say. You guys are great. Chris,
can we get rid of her now?
I wasn't really expecting her to say something nice about us in her final podcast appearance.
Yeah, of course. I got to.
Typical Keely, making everyone else look better around her. She's a distributor. She gets things done.
I pass the ball around.
Yeah, I only got on this podcast because Keely was like, I want to start this podcast. And I was like, well, it's your podcast. I'll show up and talk if you want. You know, I can talk whenever.
Yeah, it's your podcast, even though anything I've told you not to do, you've still done it. So it's debatable whether or not it was my podcast.
It was your podcast. I'm still just going to follow my own rules.
Okay. Typical feuding brother status, for sure.
Keely, we're going to miss you, but we hope to see you around. And it's been great seeing you grow as much as you have as a reporter and a journalist. And now you're on the dark side. You won't actually be creating the scoops. You will be putting out the propaganda a little bit.
Oh my goodness.
It's already started.
Wow.
It's going in.
The Death Star is going to aim at you now, Shotgun. I have control of the little laser beam. So just watch out.
It's okay. I'm like a cat. I jump around the lasers.
Oh, fun.
Like laser.
What'd you say about lasers, Chris?
Don't cats like lasers?
They do.
Yeah, they try to jump on them, but they never get it. That's how I am. Constantly moving away from it. They're not getting hit by it when you want to get hit by it, even.
Okay. It's time to wrap it up. Chrissy T, can you play me off?
Yes.
Do you have
any Sorry. It's just been very hectic. Dan Nips has been blowing up the phone. It's been hectic. It's been crazy.
Why did Isaac Taylor Stewart not have a Cheez-It still?
Oh, that's an excellent question.
This is more.
That's not our playoff music.
Damn it, Dan Nips.
This is like.
This isn't the normal one.
This is weird elevator music.
This one's too upbeat and jazzy.
Okay.
What's happening?
This is a fitting ending to the Family Feud podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to it over the years. We really enjoyed arguing for you guys, not on purpose. We're just very argumentative.
I panicked. I can only find the college playoff intro theme music.
Okay.
Hopefully we hear some of that in the future for USC.
Sure. That makes sense. Hey, if you guys want me on as a guest, I'm sure I can finagle something if you guys ever want me back. But you know, you already said we can't be friends. Alrighty, that's going to wrap it up for the Family Feud podcast. That's Shotgun. That's Chrissy T. I'm Keely. We'll see y'all around. I was gonna say next time, but I guess not. We'll see y'all around.
Peace.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.